The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, and now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the first teams to announce that they will forgo voluntary offseason workouts. The Broncos and Seahawks citing COVID-19 concerns. The Bucs citing that their fully virtual offseason last year held all players accountable and led to a Super Bowl win. Speaking of Super Bowls, our next guest has three of them. One, two, three. Must be nice. Hi, Teddy. Good to see you, sir.
Hi, Teddy, Molly.
You know the deal. Max and Stephen A. first, and then you'll put a bow on things for us. We'll put it that way. Max, should teams, more of them, decide to skip voluntary workouts with all this COVID stuff going on?
No. First of all, let me just say, there are vaccines now. And it should be mandatory if you want to play in the NFL to get a vaccine. I know there are people who have feelings about this, but it's just those are their own personal feelings. It's nothing to do with the science. That should be mandatory in terms of protocols. Everyone's got to get the vaccine to play. That's number one. Number two, you don't have to have teams skipping it because individual players can already skip it. And you know who thinks it's a really big deal? We in the media think it's a big deal. Oh, look, so-and-so didn't show up for voluntary workouts. I know there's pressure to show up. But, Teddy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, to me, it's mostly about the coaching staff taking a look, you know, starting to, like, get that early momentum with chemistry, seeing what you got. I assume there's some value in it, or else why would you have them in the first place, and that teams are advantaged by having them. So in the first place, since they're voluntary and individuals can skip it, why does a whole team need to skip it? In the second place, now that we have a vaccine, why isn't that already in place, that you got to have a vaccine play? And also, by the way, and again, Teddy, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding, there is less contact in the, from what I've observed, in these situations than in like a full mini camp, right? Something like that. And so it seems to me that for all of those reasons, there's no reason for a team as a whole to skip a voluntary workout.
Max, you and I disagree with this. And I'll tell you something that I like about this. Because even though I think the pandemic is a justifiable reason to sit up there and say, wait a minute here, everyone hasn't been vaccinated. There's no policy mandating that everyone be vaccinated. As a result, because some people haven't been vaccinated and we're still in the midst of a global pandemic with new strains coming out where they're talking about us, you know, they're warning us about the dangers of that and what have you, still emphasizing the wearing of masks, still emphasizing social distancing and things of that nature. Because they've done that and those things are in place, why then force us to be together? Why? You know, I understand a player saying that, and I also understand players using it to their advantage to illuminate the fact that it is supposed to be voluntary. If ever there was a perfect time to highlight the fact that the NFL can be incredibly unfair by holding it against folks and castigating them in the most negative lights because they didn't participate in voluntary workouts, this is the perfect time to bring that up. This is the perfect time to bring attention to it. To highlight, excuse me, it is voluntary. We are supposed to have the right to choose whether we want to be there or not without repercussions, direct, you know, indirect, subliminal, whatever. We should have the right to exercise our rights, whether it's voluntary or not. If it's voluntary, then it shouldn't be any kind of punishment whatsoever, tacit or otherwise. If ever there was a time to highlight that and to bring attention to that for the players, this is the perfect time because it's the perfect excuse not to want to be around folks. It doesn't count. It's just working out. I can work out on my own. I don't need to come to your facility to do it. I like that strategy.
Yeah, I can see where both of you are coming from. I mean, they're just like each state has dealt with the pandemic in their own different ways, each team is going to deal with it in their own different ways. And we have to understand it. Because, Max, you know, in the past, it's like, yes, it's voluntary, but get your butt there because coaches want you there. They want to start to form the relationship. There are free agents that have been signed that haven't even been in the facility on a regular basis. This is how all of those relationships are built in these off-season workouts. After you work out, then you go out and do something. But all of that's not happening. All of it is would be you go work out and then you go home and then you're secluded. So I can understand why teams would say, you know what, we just don't need that. However, it is important. It is important. I think the NFL teams are a place where you have the regular testing. You have all of the safety precautions in place and you're used to it based on how they handled it last season. And having said all that, I mean, even though there's vaccinations out there and I understand that, you can't tell me what to put in my body. You can't make a vaccine mandatory for me to play professional football because of the way I feel personally about the vaccine or what I know. This is how a lot of NFL players feel. They feel strongly about, yes, I hear all this, but I'm also hearing something else about maybe blood clot something causes. Maybe this vaccine isn't exactly what I want. So do not force me to do that, NFL. But some of these players are also local and they stay around the facility, and to have an option for them to go in and have that structure is a positive thing for them. So as you can see, this is a complicated issue that have a lot of layers, and whatever players decide to do, these teams have to understand that they are right. No matter what they decide to do, whether come in or don't come in, work out on your own in an age where I do feel confident with my own personal trainer, get the vaccine or not get the vaccine. So you're going to have different views from different teams, and they all have to be respected.
Works for me.
All right,
well, Stephen A.
I thought the fellas were maybe going to.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, I mean,
go ahead,
yeah. Well, I would say I think first of all, Stephen A, to your point, I think it's not, if they want to just do away with voluntary workouts permanently, then I think your strategy makes sense, right? The teams are just going to sort of say, we're just not going to do this as a team. Okay. But if they think there is value post-pandemic in voluntary workouts, then I don't know that this really does what you're saying. Because if the whole team doesn't show up, you know, it's different than if, like, one player or certain players don't show up and they say, hey, we're in the pandemic. So, and you're saying, like, kind of using that to get out of a situation they don't want to be in, having kind of a plausible deniability.
Well, it's not getting out of it.
If the whole team doesn't show up, I don't know if it does that.
Well, I think it does that.
Getting a gauge on your team. I mean, so maybe I've asked the entire team on what's your opinion, as if I'm Pete Carroll. All right, I'm checking with all my guys, my main guys. Would you come to voluntary? How do you feel about voluntary? So we've got 3/4 of the important guys that I need there that aren't going to be there. You know what? I don't want to send that message. Have these guys come in that don't have our leaders there. So you know what? Cancel the whole thing. I think that's important too. Some teams may be doing that.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, I'll just wrap it up by saying this here. The workouts are voluntary, and Teddy, I don't think you could be more right that the vaccine also has to be voluntary. And I am someone who chose to get it, but yeah. I had my own concerns. A lot of people have different health issues, different religious beliefs, and you just can't force anybody. And it is still very early, so I think teams have to respect it. I don't think you can force people. It's too personal of a decision. What were you going to say?
I agree. I totally
agree. It is, Molly. And I understand how personal a lot of them feel about it. I too have a pre-existing health condition, having 2 strokes. I chose to get the vaccine. So, but it was my choice after a lot of information I got from a lot of doctors. So that's what all these players are going through. And you can only understand the conflicting information that they're getting.
They're getting conflicting information. And obviously,
yeah, me too.
We know I took the vaccine. That's something that I struggled with, but I ultimately had to reach that decision because I was educated by Dr. Dennis Pullen, who's the president president and CEO of Virtual Health in South Jersey, who's a friend of mine. And he educated me about how disproportionately it was affecting the African-American community. He said, just look in the ICUs. He said, you have a lot of people from other ethnic groups, particularly the white community, that were taking this vaccine. And the bottom line is not enough black people were taking it. So it was important. But in the same breath, it was still my choice. And to and everybody is a bit different. And I understand, Max, what you're saying, because it ultimately, you could ultimately harm somebody else. I totally get that. But again, everybody's different, not just mentally, but physically, in terms of how they'll react to it, how receptive their bodies will be to it, pre-existing conditions and things of that nature. For a league to have the power to sit up there and say, if you're going to play in our league, you have to do this, that is definitely going beyond the pale. I cannot support that, man. That's too much.
Well, I disagree, and I would just say this. If someone has an underlying condition or is going to have some reaction to the vaccine, obviously they can't get it. They shouldn't get it. I understand that entirely. But for the most part, and Teddy, you brought up blood clots. That was with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I believe it was 6 cases out of 7 million. Extremely, extremely low odds. And then they stopped distributing Johnson & Johnson. If you look at the high-quality information about the other vaccines, they are highly effective. And we have, you know, there's been an increasing kind of movement in our culture pre-pandemic, an anti-vax kind of movement that was based on pseudoscience and nonsense. And we became a less healthy country as a result. I think it's fine for a league or a business to say, hey, if there's here's the what we know about this vaccine. If you want to come and work here, you need to be vaccinated against which protects you 90-something percent against
all
a
right,
global
Max.
Pandemic.
All right, Max. So what if Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and the stars in the league said, hell no, we ain't doing it? What's the NFL supposed to do?
You'd have a problem on your hands at that point. At that point, if all the biggest stars said that, you'd have a problem on your hands. Hopefully, they wouldn't say that as they became more educated about it.
That's not that. I did not ask you that. Of course, hope. That my question to you was, what if that were to happen? What do you do then as a league if you're following Max Kellerman's suggestion? What do you do if the stars say, hell no, I won't do it? What do you do? Question.
If the biggest, you'd have to cross that bridge when you got to it. You know, you'd have to see if a compromise could be made. You're asking me about a hypothetical
Do
you play without it or do
you
try to
make it?
It's so uncomfortable.
Here's not a hypothetical. This is not a hypothetical right here. You're talking about professional athletes that know down the schedule, the nutritional value of everything that goes in their bodies. You know, you talk about, all these players talk about it, how we maintain our nutrition, our supplements, everything. You know it to the letter. That's how specific it is right now with these players. So now wait a second. All right, you want me to put this shot in here to play football? I don't know what that is. That's the thought process. Now, I'll say this. The trust factor is big, and the trust factor on who you communicate with, the doctors that Stephen A. is talking about, Dr. David Greer, Boston Medical Center, my guy that got me through 2 strokes, he tells me what to do, and I say, okay, doc, I'm going to seriously consider that. These players need to get to who they trust, accept their information from who they trust, and sometimes that person will tell them, I'm not recommending it. And if they choose not to, they can't be forced.
Yeah, it's just too personal. All right, we will leave it there. Great discussion. I think we could have done all 30 minutes on this. Teddy, thank you for being with us. Always good to see you and bringing the insight. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. The Suns rolled to a 106-86 blowout over the Miami Heat last night, with the Suns bench stepping up with 65 points. Phoenix has now won 10 of their last 11 games, including three in a row. Stephen A., what do you think? Are the Suns legit title contenders?
Not to me, not yet. They have elite play at the point guard spot. They have a star in Devin Booker, who's emerging as a superstar. I love the development of DeAndre Ayton. And I love Monty Williams and his coaching staff. I know all of those guys. The Willie Greens of the world, the Randy Ayers of the world, Monty Williams. I love those guys. And I'm very, very proud of the job that they're doing. I just get this feeling like they're just a piece away. Just a piece away. When you know, it's in during the regular season, understand, we play a game and then we go on our merry way. We'll see you down the road. During the postseason, it's a best 4 of 7. You get to plan and lock in and focus on one particular opponent over the stretch of a 7-game series. And I think in this instance, it takes a little bit more when you consider the teams that they're going to have to go against, the Utahs, the Clippers, the Lakers, et cetera, et cetera. I just view it and I look at the level of experience that those teams have. And I say, you know something? I don't know. I could see, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like they'll get blown out, they're going to disappear in the first round or anything like that. But when I think title contention, I'm like, okay, is this team, what's the odds that this team is coming out of the West? If I can pick three teams ahead of you, then I don't view you as that contender. I view you as a legitimate team, a postseason team. But I just think of a piece of way, some of the young guys, I mean, Ayton's young, Booker's young, hasn't been in the playoffs yet. Mikal Bridges, young, talented, but young, you know. I know Jay Crowder's a big pickup for them. CP3 told me he's been raving about him all year long. But I still believe they're just a piece away.
You're probably right. But are they legit title contenders? You're right about, like, young guys, playoffs, not experienced. Those are fair points. But they are legitimate title contenders right now, because you're overlooking something important. I think you and I both agree. If everyone's at full strength, it's Lakers and Nets. Yeah, I mean, like, let's face it. I don't think this Suns team can beat the Nets if the Nets are fully loaded. I take the Lakers confidently to beat this Suns team if the Lakers are fully loaded. We don't know that. Stephen A., you've been on the record questioning AD's health. Let's just start with the Western Conference, right? Will he come back? If AD comes back at less than 85% of himself, 80% of himself, oh, this Suns team could easily beat the Lakers. And then look around. Look around the West. Jamal Murray out. Denver going to beat this Suns team without Jamal Murray? The answer is no. Let me help everyone out there. No, not without Jamal Murray. So who? So Lakers, if AD's not right, Jamal Murray's Clippers? Jazz, right? That's what we're down to now. When we're saying who's really going to beat them. Because I think they'd be favored against Portland or Dallas. Who's going to beat this Suns team? Clippers, Jazz. Could they beat the Clippers or the Jazz? Oh, hell yeah. First of all, Chris Paul is thirstier for a title than any. No one's thirstier than him. No one's hungrier for him than that championship. You could be as hungry, but not hungrier. He's one of the all-time greats. He's never had it. And let's not forget, he had one great wing backcourt player with him in James Harden in Houston. They got to a seventh game against a loaded Warriors team, and they didn't win it, maybe because Chris Paul didn't play in it. Now he has Devin Booker. Whatever you want to say, Stephen A., they're second overall in the Western Conference to the Jazz. Let's count in the end of last season. They went 8-0 in the bubble. You count in those wins since that time. They're the best team in the league. in terms of their regular season record. Now, you talk about postseason. Does Chris Paul make a difference there? I believe so. Devin Booker's a miraculous player. You look at Mikal Bridges and where he's playing now. He's not an average player. He's an above-average starting wing, right? 3-and-D wing. But obviously, DeAndre Ayton has benefited from Chris Paul. And so the only position where you would say, out of the starting five, well, do they really have a great or really an above-average player by those standards? And maybe not, but they got three, four guys who can all play. Cam Johnson and Saric and obviously Jay Crowder. And they got a lot. They're deep. No, this team has been on fire since the bubble. They haven't been put out yet. And if anything, I think they're more able now to deal with the postseason with the addition of Chris Paul going forward. Given the injuries in the Western Conference, I think they could easily get out of the conference. And then you look at the East. If the Nets aren't at 100%, I'm not saying for sure they can't be any of those Eastern Conference teams. They're live to win the whole thing.
Listen, it's been a long time since the Phoenix Suns have been relevant. It really, really has. And when I look at them, you know what? The arrival of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder doesn't exactly get you over the hump. It gets you into the postseason. It makes us look at them with a level of respect that we should have. The Phoenix Suns have not been to the playoffs in a decade. That means Devin Booker has never been to the playoffs. It means Mikal Bridges has never been to the playoffs. It means DeAndre Ayton has never been to the playoffs. I'm just looking at them and I'm saying I'm very proud of what I'm seeing. And they're an exciting team to watch. They got a lot of guts. They got a lot of talent. They got leadership at the point guard spot and in the coaching ranks, no doubt about it. I'm just looking at them, and when I think about the elite teams in the Western Conference, even though their record would indicate they are elite, those are regular season games. The playoffs are a different
Stephen
monster.
A, real quick.
And I'm just of the mindset
question.
That, no, they're a piece away.
Real quick question, you know, like maybe DeAndre Ayton has to develop a little bit more, whatever that is. What's your guess about Devin Booker in the playoffs, real quick? What's your guess? How's Devin Booker going to play in the playoffs?
I think he's going to play well, but I'd also think that I think about the playoffs differently than you do. You know, you're the guy that has a guy ranked number one in the world and 4 days later he's number five. You're the guy that doesn't care about the regular season until you want to act like you care about the regular season. I pay attention to these things, and I think that when pressure moments arrive, youth will show up and show out. I also think officiating, you're not going to get the calls that you normally get during the regular season and stuff like that. I think there's a plethora of things that are going to work against a relatively young squad come postseason time, and I think the Phoenix Suns are going to be a byproduct of that. That's just how I view it. I think Devin Booker is going to average 25 in the playoffs. I mean, he's going to get his numbers. He's going to get his numbers.
All right. According to our basketball power index here at ESPN, the Suns have an 11% chance to reach the finals. That would be fourth best in the Western Conference. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Obviously, Brooklyn, you know, has a lot of talent. But at the end of the day, you know, there's only one ball. You got to play defense, too. So,
All right, that was the Sixers. Ben Simmons getting set for the big game tonight against the Nets. And look who's here, NBA champion, four-time All-Star Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed, good to see you, sir. So happy to have you with us and get into some NBA good stuff. So I want to start with what we just heard from Simmons there. How do you think KD and Kyrie should respond to those sweet comments?
I think they'll respond with just play. You're talking about two veteran guys there, and they'll just respond with their play, opposed to going back with the Twitter and all the other stuff. It's going to be their play.
It's good to see you, my brother. It's good to see you. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, Sheik. When you look at this Philadelphia 76ers team, now obviously I saw Kevin Durant, Kyrie, James Harden. I'm like, they're going to the damn finals. I don't give a damn what defensive problems they had at the beginning of the season. They're going to the damn finals. Who's going to stop these boys? But I will acknowledge I've been very, very impressed with what Doc Rivers has done with the Philadelphia 76ers. How much of a threat are the 76ers to Brooklyn? And are they the number one threat in the Eastern Conference to the Brooklyn Nets as far as you're concerned?
Well, you definitely got to say that because don't get me wrong. Brooklyn has a trifecta. You know, they have three great players with Kyrie, Honey Bun, and KD. So those three guys, you got to respect them. But the Sixers, I think what makes them a little bit different and, you know, I would have to give the edge to them is the fact that that team has been together for a couple of years.
Mm. So you got the Philadelphia hold on, Max. You're giving the edge to the 76ers? Like, they're the team you're picking to come out of the East?
Forget it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, don't dance. You ain't been dancing before. Don't dance now. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Max.
Show up with a P on the hat. Take the Philadelphia team.
Simon Gratz in the house.
Sheed. Wait a minute.
Philly.
Hold on a second. I understand taking the Sixers in this game. Nets coming off second of back-to-back. No James Harden. But just like your 0-4 Pistons team, to me, was the greatest defensive team in the history of American team sports. Apologies to Ravens teams in football and Cardinals teams in baseball. I've never seen defense like that in any sport, right? By the end of this season, if these three cats are healthy, this is going to be the greatest offensive team in history, any sport. When they haven't even played together, they were doing the Western Conference, just Harden and Kyrie. Sheed, you're taking the Sixers to beat a fully loaded Brooklyn team?
Well, that's the thing, Max. What's the magic word in what you said? If. You know, it's I don't think those guys, those three guys talking about Kyrie, Harden, and KD, I don't think they played too many games together with all three of them. It's always one guy sitting out. You know, it could be KD and James Harden playing, and you might have Kyrie sitting out for personal reasons. Then you could have Kyrie and KD playing. Then you got Harden sitting out for, you know, whatever reason, injuries or whatever. But like you said, if those three guys are healthy, and then on the other side of it, I would give that to the Sixers because especially, and here's my if Embiid is healthy. You know, if Joel Embiid is healthy, he's a monster to handle, dog, on everything.
Right now, Rasheed Wallace, right now, if you had to pick the league MVP, who is it? Take your time.
That's a tough one, Steve, because, you know, everybody hasn't played in all their games. You know, I want to say Embiid, but – you know, he hasn't played in all of the games because of, you know, health reasons or whatever. But it's tough. But right now, I would have to give it to Dame myself because he's played in the majority of all the games. We already know Dame is a monster. You know what I'm saying? So I would have to give it to him at this moment. If you ask me, Steve, at this moment.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, although – it's close because Jokic is doing things centers are not supposed to
and
do.
And hasn't missed a
Sheed
game,
is one
Max.
Of the, like,
and hasn't missed a game.
Missed a game. This dude can bring the ball up. One of the best passers you ever seen. Bomb from the outside. A load on the inside on offense. It is. He is the real deal.
Can't
and
jump
as one
on
of
a
the
curb.
Early
and still can't
kind
be
of,
stopped.
As one of the early kind of like stretch big type players. Like, because you could shoot from the outside, especially by the standards of that day. You mentioned Embiid, but when you see these modern bigs like Embiid and Jokic and the things that they can do now, I know Shaq was talking about the freak saying, man, I wish they would have let me play like that. I wanted to play like that. I just really wasn't allowed. What do you think when you watch Embiid and Jokic and these dudes?
Like, wow. That's my main word, especially with the Joker. You know, I kind of, even though I didn't see it with my own eyes, I can kind of sort of put him on that same pedestal with Jokic being like a young Sabonis. You know, Jokic is a hell of a passer to be 7'1", 7'2". You know, he has pretty good footwork, got post moves, and he's a stretch as well. You know, knock down that corner tramp or from the top. I would have to say he's like a young Sabonis, yo.
Rashid, your last season was 2012-2013. As you've had an opportunity to just watch the game, because I know you're doing your thing and you're paying attention to what's going on, talk to me about where you are right now in terms of when you look at the NBA game. Do you find yourself at times wishing you were still playing? Are you happy in retirement? What's the deal with you, my man?
Well, you know, in your words, Steve, all I got to do is put it down and, you know, put the drinks down and, you know, get in shape. Then, you know, I feel like I could play in the NBA, especially with these rules. But, you know, that's a whole different story in itself, my man. You know, it's just a different breed now. You know, I'm not disrespecting any of the younger players or any of the guys that's playing in the league right now. But they're on a different page. You know, of course, when I played back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was all about physicality and, you know, defense. And of course, the NBA didn't like that because offense sells tickets. So with the way that the league is now, you can't really touch guys and this and that. And it's a whole different mentality. But that's why you got a whole bunch more offense going on. So, you know, guys aren't really too focused on defense. I don't even know if coaches really teach defense.
I want to pick your brain about something that kind of transcends just basketball, because I remember when you were coming out, oh, Rashid Wallace, and then there's Joe Smith. Oh, he's maybe more athletic. And then one guy goes ahead of another, and he had a good career. It's not hard. It's not easy to tell who is going to be the best. We got the NFL draft approaching. This is a topic all the time when trying to select in the draft. You know, Halliburton, man, he looks like he's going to fit anywhere. How did he drop so low? Like, what? Can you give us any insight just from your own personal experience, when you're looking at a draft, how do you know, how do you pick which guy, as having been through it yourself, where some guy hopped up ahead of you based on stuff that didn't pan out that way? How do you pick? Like, what do you look for to know who's going to turn out to be the best pro?
Well, it's really all on what that team needs. You know, and I've learned that early, you know, in 95 when I got drafted, because, of course, I felt as though that I was the best player. Yeah, I could have went number one, but, you know, it went to my man Joe Smith. So, obviously, Golden State wanted that more of a scoring forward or scoring big man, because Joe was killing him up in college at Maryland. I think he was averaging like 20, 22, 25, yeah, something like it that. Was, so, yeah, they needed that low post scoring. So, it's all on what that team needs, for real, for real. It's not necessarily saying that Joe was better than me, I'm better than Joe, or I'm better than KG, or I'm better than Stack, or vice versa. It's all on what that team needs, man.
Now, I don't even know why the hell you brought up Joe Smith. As far as I'm concerned, he didn't have a post game the second he got to the NBA. He could play, but the post game, no, he was a jump shooter in the NBA, a 6'10 jump shooter. That's what the hell he was.
He was a nice player, but I had to take Rashid Wallace.
I like Joe, but stop it, okay? I'm trying to be nice this morning. Let me ask you this, man. When you look at the Western Conference, right now, I'm looking at AD, and the mindset initially was, if AD gets healthy, there's nothing to talk about. But I must confess, Clippers seem on a mission. Max just brought up the Suns. I can't ignore Utah. And a lucky Jamal Murray got hurt. We wish him nothing but the best, because if he were healthy, Denver would have been there. As you scour the Western Conference, is it really that simple about AD getting healthy? Or do you consider the Clippers or Utah or Phoenix real big-time legitimate threats to a healthy Lakers team?
Oh, they definitely are. I have Phoenix as a sleeper team. You can ask Bonzi from our show. I had Phoenix as a sleeper team this year. Not saying that we're going to win the championship, but they're doing what they're doing. As far as Utah, you know, they're playing great. They've been playing great for the last couple of years, and they're getting that continuity together as far as being that team and trying to go further and further into the playoffs. But I think you hit it on the head, Steve, with AD. I think he's that pivotal piece for the Lakers. And, you know, no disrespect to Bron and the other guys that are out there, but AD, to me, seems to be that pivotal piece for the Lakers to repeat. And, of course, he has to stay healthy. And it's going to be hard. I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk for them even when AD come back, because, as you mentioned, you know, you got Phoenix, you got Denver, you got Utah. So it's going to be – and you got Portland, so don't count them out too.
Max,
so
are you –
it's definitely going to be a race.
Max, are you listening to this man Sheed here trying to give his basketball announcer? Sheed trying to take our job. This is what Sheed be doing with Bonzi Wells.
I hear it.
He ain't trying to take our job. That's what he's trying to do right there with the basketball analysis. What's
up? He's doing a good job too. Sheed, let me ask you something real quick before you get out of here. So you were on a team. I brought up the 04 Pistons. Like, once every 10 years, a team like that can grab a chip in the NBA. But almost always, it's the team with the multiple super-duper stars, with the multiple MVPs, the Lakers if they're healthy this year, last year, or the Nets if they're healthy this year, or teams like that. So having been on a team where it all came together, like you guys did it, the Mavericks did it around Dirk Nowitzki, so that's more like a team like Phoenix or Utah or a team like that. What do those teams need to do to be one of those once in a decade, we're going to steal this chip, even in the midst of these superstar teams?
Well, something that's not played in the NBA right now, and that's defense. You know, that's what we hung our hat on. That 04 Pistons team, we hung our hat on defense from day one when I got traded there. You know, it wasn't we just going to let guys score. We just going to let guys run up and down and get 120, 130 points. Nah, that's not happening with us. It's defense is the main factor. And I think that's what set us aside from a whole lot of other championship teams. You know, we still have one NBA record that will never be broken, I don't think. And that's when we held six or seven teams under 70 points and wasn't trying to do it. We were just playing basketball. We wasn't trying to do it.
Wow.
They do say defense wins championships.
I remember those
All right,
days,
Rasheed, before we let you go,
at the end of the game.
Obviously, Nets at Sixers tonight. That's at ESPN on 7 Eastern. Our poll results, the fans said that Embiid and Simmons need to send a bigger message tonight. Are you with it?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. As I said, you can talk all you want. I could tell y'all I just hit the Powerball yesterday for the $300 million or whatever. I could tell it to you, but you're going to want to see it. So I got to prove it. So that's what they have to do tonight. They have to go out there and prove it. You know, they said they talk on Twitter and all that other stuff, but now tonight they got to go out there and prove it.
All right, let the play do the talking. Rasheed Wallace, thank you so much for your time,
sir.
It was a lot of fun. Come join us again.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate y'all.
All right, take care.
I like it.
All right, fellas, we transition now to the octagon. Hot off the presses, UFC President Dana White announcing this morning that the Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier trilogy is set for July 10th at UFC 264 before a full house, full capacity, Max Kellerman in Las Vegas. How big is this fight for Conor McGregor?
It couldn't, like, you can't overstate how big this fight is for Conor McGregor, because McGregor burst upon the scene not just as a big mouth, right? Not just as a super charismatic superstar, but because he was winning, and he was winning impressively. He beat a lot of good fighters impressively. And when he did lose, it's, well, he's jumping up a weight class, taking a fight last minute, stuff like that, and then he'll have a rematch and win in a tough fight. He hasn't done that in a long time against a good opponent. It's been a long time. Now, you can hang around in a combat sport. There are examples of it in boxing and in MMA. As a gate attraction who is still exciting, who can still compete but doesn't win anymore, that's not the category Conor McGregor's supposed to be in. Even if I didn't think that he was going to be champion for a very long time, given who was in his division, Khabib, especially with Khabib's absence now, he's supposed to be among the top fighters in the world. Stephen A., he can't afford to lose yet another fight particularly a rubber match in a trilogy, and still be the Conor McGregor. I can't overstate how important this fight is for him to win.
I can't overstate it either, Max. I 1,000% agree with every single word that you just said. And if Conor McGregor is watching somewhere, I just want to let him know. Listen, I mean no disrespect to him, man. I'm just calling it like I see it. You know, listen, I respect all of those guys. I mean, you show up in that octagon, you put your life on the line. You understand? I got nothing but respect for these guys. And I can't say enough about the team that we have here at ESPN, including yourself, Max, you know, the Joe Rogans of the world, the Daniel Cormiers of the world, Chael Sonnen, Michael Bisping, Ariel Helwani, Brett Okamoto. I mean, all of these guys. We just got an A-team covering the UFC. And when I see people chronicle Conor McGregor, no one's disrespecting him. What we're saying is, you are box office, man. We know what we saw that led to you being box office. But now, if you keep losing, what does that say? Listen, he cannot lose this fight to Dustin Poirier, this trilogy. When you knocked him out, that was 2014. Ever since you got your money going up against Floyd Mayweather, people look at you and they say, you're not the same. Now, when you got hit and ultimately knocked out by Dustin Poirier, even though he hit you in the face a few times, as we're watching now, he took your legs out. What did Nurmagomedov do to you? He mauled you and wrestled you. It wasn't the only thing he did, but they're not there for you to hit them with strikes. No, they're going to attack your legs. They're going to grapple with you if necessary, because Conor McGregor, Max, comes across as if he's just a puncher now. And guess what? They're saying this ain't boxing. And so you got to do something. You got to find a way to get back to whatever it was that you had when you were winning all of those fights, even though primarily they were knockouts. You got to get something, man, because right now it's just becoming a sideshow. He can't continue losing like this. It's just not good. It's just not good. And I'm rooting for him because I think he's box office and great for the sport.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And it's not just like the worst part about it for McGregor, just in terms of what the fans are seeing, is once he's worn down a little bit, how is he losing? He's losing to guys punching him in his face, right? That was McGregor's game. McGregor has enormous natural talent as a striker. And it's not just natural. You got to work on it. I get it. But he's also, like, he's got long arms and he's got a cagey defense and he's got real power and he's just a high IQ striker. And by the way, I don't care what kind of shape Floyd Mayweather was in, how much he wanted to give people a show. You could eyeball Conor McGregor. That dude had never fought in a prize fight at a professional level. And even just to go more than 10 rounds with Floyd, I don't care if it's an exhibition, you could see, you could just tell, this dude could have been a really, really good boxer. But it is more than that. And especially when they're wearing you down, and whether it's Habib or Poirier, they start flying your head with their hands at the end of the fight. It's a bad look for McGregor.
But Max, they're doing that after they're chopping him down. And what I'm saying is that...
Yeah, that's right. They're wearing him out.
It's almost seemed like they're hell-bent on reminding him, this is the UFC. This is MMA. This ain't what you use to get a $100 million payday going in a boxing ring for an exhibition match. This is the real deal. And that's what they're reminding him of with how they're chopping him down before he leaves. Remember, when he left the arena after losing to Dustin Poirier, he left the arena a little bit scarred, but he had to walk out with a cane. His legs were shot. That's why he ultimately got hit, because he took his legs out from under them. They're reminding him, you're supposed to be about MMA, the UFC. You haven't been about that, and we're going to show you that's a mistake. And that's what they're doing to him. He's got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not debating that part. What I'm saying is, to me, where you hit the nail on the head is the $100 million against Floyd. The late, great Marvin Hagler, the middleweight champion of the 80s, used to say, it's hard to get up at 5 in the morning and go running when you're sleeping in silk pajamas, right?
Yeah.
And the whole question with the payday against Floyd is how that's going to affect you. Because Stephen A., you could take it back to Rocky III, right? You can do the Apollo Creed speech. Yeah, I trained hard, but I didn't have that eye of the tiger. Does, like, yep. to, it's not, hey, maybe Max. It's an oversimplification. does Connor still have the eye of the tiger? It's one thing to think you want it. It's another thing to need it.
One of the reasons I applaud the LeBron James of the world, the late, great Kobe Bryants of the world, the Dwayne Wades of the world, it's not just because they succeeded. It's where they succeeded. Miami and L.A., South Beach and La. If you want to metaphorically attach or just compare, talk about silk pajamas, that's the equivalent of waking up or sleeping in silk pajamas. Mm-hmm. When you sleeping in South Beach or La, and still you go out and win because there are distractions. There are distractions. You have to be disciplined.
Yep. Kobe
you
used to talk about that, Stephen A.
It matters.
Kobe used to
it
talk matters. About that. L.A. is not for everyone. L.A.
For
is not for everyone.
Everybody
it's,
can't
it's
handle
it. It's hard to be consistently great if you play like that. He used to talk about it.
Yeah. Matters.
All right. Who do you guys have winning this? I know it's early, but Max, who would you pick?
Poirier.
Same.
Okay. No love for McGregor. All right. We shall see. Full capacity. So guess what, fellas? That means you can be in the building. That's pretty exciting for fans in Las Vegas. That'll be a first. Goodbye, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Let's get it back.